As we go to the Word of God today, I'm going to look primarily at the Psalm for today. We will also touch on the Gospel, but Psalm 100 is our Psalm for today. It'll come up on the screen behind me, and I'd like to invite you to lift this Psalm of praise all together in unison. Let's praise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Friends, before we move into the Word of God, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge something that many of us face, and certainly if we don't face it personally, you know somebody who does, and that is a struggle with something like anxiety. In our culture right now, anxiety abounds. And I had written that into my notes because I already knew that and was quite sure. But then I thought, well, I should probably just do a quick little bit of research and make sure I'm not just, you know, reading my own life into everybody else's or something. And it certainly is a major issue in our world today. In 2022, more than 5 million people, according to Stats Canada, met the diagnostic criteria for mood, anxiety, or substance disorder. Between 2012 and 2022, anxiety doubled from 2.6% of people in Canada to 5.2%. And amongst young women between the ages of 15 and 24, it actually tripled from 3.8 to 11.9. And of course, those are people who would on some level be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. So then you kind of put underneath that a whole bunch of us who also are just struggling with anxiety, right? And certainly, I think it was Mark and Tom were talking yesterday about school and just, are you seeing differences in kids, right? And this is certainly, if you talk to teachers right now, something that they're seeing over and over again in young children even, but certainly in youth and young adults. Personally, I've struggled with anxiety in my own life. It's been something that at times has felt overwhelming and still does some days. Particularly increased after my father died. And I'm learning kind of why that is as I work that through. It's not fun to feel anxious, to feel overwhelmed, to feel kind of buried in some ways by just normal stuff of life. And it can be the kind of thing that we don't really even want to talk about, because sometimes anxiety actually feels to many of us like something we should just be able to get over. But if you're here today and anxiety is chomping at the bit, it's at work in your life, I want to just bless you to be honest about that. Because today on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I believe that God wants to do some powerful things in those places for us. I do think it's the heart of God to see his people at rest, to see his people live in peace. But he also knows that many of us struggle with it, and so that same God who loves us so much that he would go to the cross, so much that he would die for our sins, so much that he would go to any length possible to see us come into life and life to the full, is present here with us today, and so we invite him into these places. As we sit with things like anxiety or other things that may plague us mentally or psychologically, physically, the question can become, in the light of anxiety, and especially if you're really in a season where you're feeling it, maybe things haven't gone the way that you thought they should, or finances are incredibly tight, or you've realized in the last little while you have way less control over your children than you'd like to, or whatever. It kind of, all these things, I could go on and on about the kinds of things that elicit this, right? But as you do, the question sort of becomes, and I know I've asked it many times, what do I need right now? Like, what needs to happen if I am to experience a change in this area of my life, to see myself come into a place of rest and peace and to be able to walk? And I think there's numbers of things we could talk about, but today I want to point to something that the Lord's been speaking to me about a lot over the last couple weeks. I know that he's been speaking about it to me for me personally, but as I prepared for today, I realized, oh, I don't think, as is often the case, that the message is just for me. And I want to talk about the importance of trust. Because anxiety abounds in our lives when we have nowhere or no one in whom to put trust. Fear and anxiety are at the very core fueled by an absence of trust. Typically, our anxiety or these places where we feel overwhelmed, discouraged, dismayed, it's in places where we've realized we don't have control, right? We actually don't get to control big things like life and death, right? Important relationship dynamics, lives of children, community, right? There's these huge finances, these big pieces that even sometimes we live maybe for a season of our lives thinking we've got it buttoned up until something happens and we realize, oh, we really don't. I think that's part of the reason why anxiety was something that I had to come to the Lord and have him help me with after my dad passed away, because my dad, about 4 years ago, passed away quite suddenly. And it was just one of those moments when you realize, oh, wow, we really don't have control over this stuff, right? And I've said many times, somebody can come to me and, you know, since sometimes when the anxiety comes is when Jana's sick, right? And it just comes on heavy because I'm thinking, oh, boy, right? And then, you know, it's just a cold, but I'm over, you know. And so even in my head, I can see, like, you're overreacting, right? But if someone is to say to me, Chad, you're just being silly, like, and I even try and tell myself that, like, there's nothing really, there's a part of me that from experience says, no, you know that's not true, right? The reality of it is life is hard, and there are big dynamics of it that are not inside of our control. And there becomes, in the midst of that reality, a need to be able to put trust somewhere. And as we get older and as we walk these things through, we realize that if that trust gets placed in a spouse, or that trust ultimately gets placed in my own strength, right, or in my pastor or my community, if that trust is ultimately placed in these places, it won't hold up on its own. And so anxiety, I think, has at the bottom of it a great need for trust. I also believe, and we'll get there in a minute, that when we begin to learn how to live and to trust, that anxiety begins to still. Left to its own, though, left apart from trust, I think two different things happen to people that take them out in a way. Typically, when somebody is experiencing anxiety, we could stop and we could just take some time to prayerfully consider, is some way do I feel a threat in my life, right? So do I feel the inability to, you know, make sure I don't die today, right? And most days, most of us are fine on that front, right? But some of us, we have moments because of our experience, different things, and we feel it acutely, right? And so we sit in those places, and the threat in that moment is death, right? Maybe you've had the breakdown in some friendships, or maybe even in some romantic relationships. And then you find yourself in friendship or romantic relationship, and all of a sudden find that those relationships are actually creating quite a bit of anxiety for you. Because there's a part of you that knows and kind of sometimes can feel, this could end bad, right? I want so much to let my heart be here. But there's this threat of that person betraying me, or just like in a moment giving up on me, or even worse, making me look foolish to those around me, kind of turning on me. Left to its own and apart from trust, our lives can become paralyzed or crushed, dominated by whatever you would put in the category of threat. First of all, this is kind of how it looks when it gets paralyzed. Sometimes anxiety can paralyze us, and if it's not tended to and we don't invite God into those places, it can easily move into places of depression, right? Or into places of like substance abuse, or into places of withdrawal, or just this deep sense of numbness. Like I'm present, but I'm not really present, right? Because we become almost paralyzed by it. And in a way, our way of dealing with it is to sort of ignore it, to try and just sort of separate ourselves from this thing that feels so overwhelming, so heavy, right? And because I don't feel like I have anywhere where I can put it, I've got to do something. And so I become a bit paralyzed. And suddenly we find ourselves, oh man, not only am I not connecting with Jesus, but I'm not connecting with friends and I'm not able to connect with family. And my life has just kind of become a bit shut down. But the other thing that can happen is in the midst of it, that anxiety, if not tended to in the presence of God, it can become also, instead of paralyzing, it can become like crushing. And then we start to talk about things like anxiety, right? And especially when anxiety really gets severe and we feel like we're just undone by, we're being crushed by it, right? Or fear, and fear sets in and starts to shape our thoughts and our actions and the way that we're living. Sometimes it can even become crushing, and the output of that is some form of almost like a violence. We start to get really angry. And out of that, we begin to get snappy, right? Or even worse with the people around us. Anxiety is not fun, and the weight of the world is not going anywhere. And so that would be the most depressing sermon of your life if I was to say amen and take us to the table right now. But praise God, it's Easter. Praise God, Christ went to the cross and he died for our sins. And he rose again. He has the power of life over death. And so we're able to get together with the psalmist, celebrate today that we are his people and the sheep of his hand. And suddenly the very place that can paralyze, that can crush, becomes a very different space. When into it comes a Savior, when in comes one who is willing to lay down his life for those that he loves, there is one, wherever you're at today and whatever you're walking through, there is one in whom you can put your trust. So whatever is the source of these things for us, we as the people of God actually have somewhere sufficient to place our trust, regardless of the source of any anxiety, any discouragement, any dismay, any oppression. It's very good news. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we particularly remember the Good Shepherd, and so our gospel reading today spoke of Jesus, right, who says, my sheep know my voice. Psalm 100, and then there's another psalm that has very similar language that come in if you follow the daily office and you pray every day to be able to pray one of these psalms that declares, like we did in Psalm 100, we are his people and we are the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 23, verse 4, very well-known verse. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Or we could turn a few chapters later to Psalm 46, and we read this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I love this word, both in Psalm 23 and now in Psalm 46. I love this word, though. Because there the psalmist comes in alongside our real lives and is willing to with us admit there's a bunch of those that touch life, right? Though I walk through the valley, though mountains be moved, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble, though all of these things, though I find myself in trouble, I am not without. No, I have, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, I have everything I need. Truths like this come in and they confront abruptly the parts of our hearts where the enemy would love to just anchor us and overwhelm us in the places of anxiety. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that doesn't change. It doesn't go away in trouble. that when you find yourself in places that are overwhelming for you, that feel like too much to bear, too much to carry, when you realize and come honest to the fact that you are in far less control than you would like to be, you are His and He is yours. You are the people of His pasture, like sheep. And He is your shepherd. And so in the gospel that Sarah read, Jesus says to us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." I'm going to read that again. And especially if you're here today, in many ways, my teach today is for those of you particularly who are feeling anxiety. For those of you who have an area or something in your life that feels too much, overwhelming, heavy. Hear Jesus in light of those things, right where you are today. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That's beautiful and incredibly good news any day. But isn't that powerful in the day of trouble? See, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd, and that means you're good. Though the earth give way, though fill in the blank. And I'm telling you, I know that for some of you to fill in that blank today is pretty significant. And my suggestion today, and I want to make it with as much sincerity as I can, it's I think this is the kind of thing that sometimes in our Christian forgive me, bubbles kind of, you know. We can say these kinds of things and they just sound very trite because we say them kind of tritely. I mean this in any way but tritely. I believe and am convinced that what we're desperately in need of in those places is trust. To not only know and to hear, to be told that we have a shepherd and we're okay. But to place our trust, to take that part of our life and to put it in the capable hands of that shepherd. To let go of it and allow ourselves to be sheep of His pasture. There's a freedom that comes suddenly. I can rest. I might even find that the shepherd has led me to still waters. Wouldn't that be nice? To green pastures. Where this thing wells up in me and I say, "He is my shepherd. I have everything I need." We need to trust. Another way to talk about it would be to say that we need in those spaces, and it needs to be, I would confess to the Lord, "Lord, I need this to come as a gift from the Holy Spirit. I need an increase of faith today." When I stand in the midst of these places, and I look at diagnosis, or I look at the loss of loved ones, or I look at broken relationship, I stand in the midst of this, and they become overwhelming to me to the point at which I would call out to God and say, "Lord, I need you to increase my faith here. Because I think yesterday or in that situation, I trust you. I trust that I have a shepherd and that He loves me and He's got me. But here today, I'm having a hard time with that one." And to come honestly before the Lord and to pray and to say, "I need to trust, but Lord, help me. It's tough to do. It sounds great. Just trust," right? I love the verses, you know, "Be anxious for nothing, right? I love it. Sounds great. But I think there's a part of our hearts, especially in the throes of trouble and anxiety, when one might understandably ask these kinds of questions. How exactly do I do that? How I love it. It makes sense even logically. But I like, given where I'm at and what I'm carrying, what does it look like to trust though the earth gives way? To trust as the mountains tremble, to trust as life rattles, right? And I want to give you three things today. I could give you a bunch of other stuff too. Certainly one of the things we could have talked about was just the importance of prayer, right? Cast your cares on me, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication. So we could talk about that, and I want to encourage you in that. But today I want to give you three other things that I think are incredibly important if we want to grow in trust, to grow in faith, to be more firmly rooted and established in a place that can help us stand like a house built on rock when the storms start to roll. The first thing is this. I want to call us to praise. And if you're paying attention and if you're tracking with me today in light of your own life, then there might be a part of you that said, oh, brother. Because it's in the midst of those things that we maybe more than ever feel anything but praise, right? It's like there's, in order to praise, we're making a choice, aren't we? And it's some days a really hard one. But friends, it will change your reality. It will bring you into a place of truth, because particularly in the place of praise, the other word I could have put there is declaration, that together we would lift up in the midst of our trouble the truth about who God is, that we would from that space open Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so together again, it's going to come up on the screen. Let's praise together for a moment. Let's practice this as we lift up again together Psalm 100. And friends, if you're feeling like, yep, Chad, you've been speaking to me today, then I really want to invite you to give yourself permission to allow your heart to declare this psalm right where you are, right in the midst of what you're carrying. And so together we worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Let me ask you a question, and it's not a rhetorical one. I would love to hear a couple of answers. Every day of your life, every moment of your life, tell me a few of the things, especially as it relates to your God, that you know for sure. Sorry? Unconditional. He's good. Steadfast. He will never leave me. Keep coming. You're ministering to people in the room right now. What else do you know for sure? His purposes will prevail. He's sovereign. Merciful. He's merciful. Yeah. Faithful. Okay. Relentlessly kind. Wow. Sorry? Fatherly. Fatherly. Yeah. Extravagant. Say again? Extravagant in giving. Oh, I like that. This side of the room has to catch up. Come on. He sees and he hears our deepest cries.
He remembers that we are but dust.
He remembers that we are but dust. Friends, he knows you. Nothing you're going through, none of your weakness, none of your limitations are surprising to him. He's well aware. He knows you. I love that. The sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they know me. I know them. Right? What else do you know for sure? His plans for us are good. He seeks and finds the lost. Grace. Say again, Dan. There is no shadow of turning. What a beautiful phrase. Yeah. Was there one other one here? He sings over us. He's gentle. I tell you, when I'm feeling this stuff, that one I need to remember. I often start to think he's going to come in pretty heavy-handed. He's so gentle. Friends, in life so often there are many things that we don't know for sure, right? Tons of them. And the enemy would love for those to be the things that dominate your life, that dominate your thinking, right? How long will this take? What do I need to do? Where should I go? Will I get better? There's so much we don't know. But on this Good Shepherd Sunday, what I'm inviting you to is to put your trust in one who allows you to do what we just did. Because you are his and he is yours, you know some pretty important things for sure. And so when we put our trust in the Good Shepherd, all these things that we've shared, they just kind of rise up like a hymn, like a song. They take over the room where before there was despair and discouragement and darkness. It's like light just comes flooding into the room. And I'm able to say, I don't know exactly how this is going to end, but I know that he's good. I know that in the end, I will see him face to face. Right? I know that he has the power of resurrection. First time that I recited the Nicene Creed after my dad passed, I had to let the congregation finish the last part. I believe in the communion of saints, the resurrection from the dead and the life everlasting. Right? I know that. And so the first thing we can do is we can praise, we can declare, we can worship him, choose to worship him for who he is. And so to stand then in the repercussions of that, the truth then of what I know for sure, because my Savior lives, right? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. See, this anxiety really gets beat up in the place of worship, in the place of praise. Two more things. The second thing that we can do is we can remember. One of the lectionary readings this week has been through the first part of Deuteronomy, some of my favorite passages of Scripture. As Moses prepares the people to finally head out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And throughout it's this language, this encouragement of remembrance. He says to them, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years. Take care, Moses says, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Remember. And I think this is so important for us, and why I'm so thankful for moments like our table Sunday there last Sunday, where together around our tables, we got to share stories. I think one of the questions I asked you was something along the lines of, has God ever done anything to get your attention? Has he ever kind of done anything specifically to try and like wake you up, to pull you out? You know, those moments are life-changing for us. But there's something so beautiful and important about remembering those things. And so when we stand in these places where it feels like the earth's giving way, it's actually very right and very helpful for us to remember the last time it felt like the earth was going to give way. And God held us. Right? To remember the faithfulness and the character of God. So to take maybe some of those declarations and to remember when they weren't just truth out there, but when God by his grace and in his spirit brought them present to you and you experienced his goodness. You experienced his steadfastness. You experienced his extravagant love for you. I remember Easter Sunday when Mackenzie came and she shared with us her journey, her story. One that's very much still in motion. It's been, I think, one of the greatest gifts of our Easter Sundays over the last few years, as people like Joy and Mark and others have shared from the real stuff of their lives, where still there might be source for worry or anxiety. Those things are there, but they're there, right there, able to say, but my God has been so present. So at work, and to tell the stories, to remember, and not just to remember in the quiet of our hearts, but to remember out loud. And that brings us to the third thing, which is in line with remembrance, this action of giving thanks in every season. So in the place of anxiety, I want to encourage you and call you to praise, to remembrance, and to gratitude. And I am well aware that none of those things are what we want to do in the midst of anxiety, in trouble. Now, because we've got an enemy who would like us to do anything but as we choose to take these steps, to step into these places, we will encounter a God who brings rest to his people. Adam prayed it in worship today, right? I am at rest when I find my rest in you. Anxiety stills. Peace comes. When I come into the presence of God, and we can do that in praise, we can do that in remembrance, but we can do that in gratitude. By choosing in every moment to give thanks. It's very easy to be overwhelmed by what we don't have, to be overwhelmed by what's going wrong, so much so that we can miss right in that moment all the incredibly beautiful and good things God is doing and has done and has given to us. So again, I think it's very right, even in those spaces, not to ignore the hard things. I think they very much deserve attention, and God wants to meet you there. But to not be overcome by them and to find yourself like a sheep with a shepherd. That in those places, the solution's actually not in you. You don't have what you need. That it's very true. That you need somewhere to place your trust. And I think to exercise trust, to exercise faith, these are three things that could be very helpful. And so I hope that is helpful for you. Together, we're going to come to the table. We're going to take time there at the table to practice all three of those things. Together at the table, we will declare the gospel. We will declare the good news of Jesus. We will declare things of his character, one who's always has mercy. There we will remember, and certainly a big part of coming to the table is to remember, and not only in an intellectual remembrance, but in a way that the Hebrews would have talked about remembrance as almost like a bringing into the present the things of the past. So the goodness of Christ at the Last Supper, the heart of Jesus on the cross, the love of Christ in his passion come present to us, remembered right here. What a gift, especially in the place of trouble. And as well as we come to the table, we will exercise gratitude where we come to a table literally often referred to as the Eucharist. Thanksgiving. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would come to our hearts today on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Be like a shepherd to us. We confess to you that like sheep, we can get pretty anxious. We can get pretty overwhelmed and left to our own, and if ever, God, we fail to or forget that we have a place that we can put our trust, we're in big trouble. We need a shepherd. And so we praise you today because you will never leave us or forsake us. Because you are the good shepherd. Thank you that we've learned and you're teaching us to know your voice. Thank you, God, that you know us. We invite you to work eternal life for us, to protect, to shape, to guard, to guide. And I pray right now that even as we come to the table, Holy Spirit, that you would minister particularly to deep places of concern, of worry, of anxiety, of fear, to every place and part of our lives that is rightly and feels like too much for us to carry. And that on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we would experience in a very real way the goodness and the grace of God to us.